Okay. The Council for the Transition. The Council for the Transition. And we began last week by saying that the Lord is on the move. We stated that very clearly. The world is in transition. The church is in transition. Individuals speaking now locally are in transition. The Lord is moving his church from one phase to the other. And one way or the other, everyone can relate to the reality of transition. And we took a verse of scripture from the book of Mark. The book of Mark chapter 4. Just give me a second. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Mark chapter 4 verse 35. And I'll read that very quickly. He said, "And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side." Now, we established from last week that there are three components to every transition story. By the spirit of wisdom and revelation, instead of going into multiple transition stories from that of the Israelites to, the story in Babylon, even the transition from the law to grace, and the transition from the singular operation of Christ to the transition to the corporate operation of Christ through his body, we see a constant. And the three components we see in that, in this topic called transition, happen to be, first and foremost, that transition is purposeful. It is purposeful. It's not without purpose. We also said that transition is in due time. Purposeful transition is in due time. Purposeful transition is in due time. And we also stated that transition or purposeful transition is initiated by the voice of God. So we are not just taking a verse of scripture and giving meaning to it. We are zooming in and giving simplicity and directness to our meditation by grabbing components of transition as captured in this verse of scripture and this story. Today, our focus would be very quickly, on the leading or the voice of the Lord. The leading or the voice of the Lord. If there is anything I believe at this point in time, which is obvious for everyone to see, is very crucial for both the church and all of mankind, is the voice, the clear voice of God. It's where our advantage lies. It's where our strength comes from. It's the basis for our faith. It's the basis for our conviction. And like he said, when the evening time was come, he said, he initiated the process. So he was involved in the process. So we're going to be touching some things concerning that today, and we'll trust the Lord for help. The voice or the leading of God as it pertains to transition, both as a church and both as individuals. I'd like us to turn to Revelations 1. Revelations 1, verse 18. Revelations 1, verse 18. Actually, I'll read from verse 17 and we'll read verse 18 together. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last." Let's read verse 18 together. One, two, go. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Now, concerning the leading of Jesus, concerning the direction of Jesus, which is the advantage of the church. The first and most important thing we must state is this scripture, which states evidently that Jesus is alive, is the first and most important basis for the acceptance of his leadership. Now, this is very important because it establishes the fact that you are not conjuring a spirit. You are dealing with someone who is alive. He is both the end and the beginning. He is both the one who is, the one who was, and who is to come. He has all knowledge. The fact that he is alive, which is the foundation of our faith, is the basis for which we can trust him. The voice and the leading of God. The voice and the leading of God. And one thing about this, which I personally appreciate, just bringing it down to a very basic level, is that you cannot say you don't have a reason to trust God because maybe he just gave you an instruction from nowhere and it doesn't look normal. It doesn't look too doable. Maybe as a church, a weird-looking instruction comes, or as an individual, a difficult instruction comes. But you cannot state in any sense that, Lord, you don't understand, because this God has a human experience. So he's not just speaking from a basis of knowledge. He's not just speaking from a point of someone who is commanding. No, he's actually speaking both as one who is God, but a God who has a voluntarily human experience, so that he can identify with whatever reason you may have to doubt him, seeing that you would have logical reasons to always doubt at any point. But when his instructions come, seeing that he has been a man before, it makes sense to trust him because he has a human experience. Jesus has a human experience. That's the first and most important thing. Sin, number one, is alive. He is a living God and he has a human experience. The scripture says that we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. So it makes a case for trusting him. And I believe the Lord has started with us greatly this morning from the prayer points we prayed or raised up. That was from Psalms 86, from verse 10 to 12. It says, I think the scripture said that, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. One thing for any believer who is advancing with God would acknowledge is the reality of the organic teachings, the way God teaches us about himself. It's not something you learn by just reading the scriptures. It comes by experience. And one of the basic challenges of every believer, most of the time, is the ability to trust. The ability to trust. That's one. The ability to trust him. Because his ways, the Bible says, are not our ways. And it takes time. It takes a lot of repenting. It takes a lot of renewal of mind to come to a point where corporately and individually we easily yield to the leadings of the Lord. So today we'll be looking very briefly, very, very briefly. I have a burden for prayer. So we'll be speaking tops about 45 minutes. But we'll be looking very briefly on the area of the leading of the Lord as it pertains to transition. As it pertains to transition. As it pertains to transition. Remember I said that he is alive And he has a human experience. Not just a human experience, but a voluntarily human experience. He by choice became man so that he can identify with you, not just in death, burial, and resurrection, but in experience. So just as he trusted the Father, the expectation is that we trust him. The expectation is that we depend on him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is a very key thing at this point in time. And I would like us to gently take down some things. Now, we'll go a little bit slower now. And I would like us to go to the earlier parts of the book of Revelations, chapter 1. Verse 12, which is the second thing we must know concerning the leadings of the Lord. The second thing we must know. Verse 12, I'll read verse 12 and verse 13. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, get about with paps, with a golden girdle. We see a picture of Christ dwelling in the amongst the mists, or in the mist rather, of the seven golden candlesticks, which symbolically represents the seven spirits of God and the operations of the church as well. And one thing we must establish is that the Lord Jesus, the living Jesus, which we have established as our life, fundamentally dwells within his church. He dwells within his church, both corporately and individually.
That's right.
He dwells. His voice is not lacking in his church. That is where the comfort of the word should come from. The Bible says in Isaiah 2, it says, come, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and the nations shall flow to it. They shall say, come, let us go unto the house of the Lord. He shall teach us of his ways. We shall walk in his paths. Why? Because the voice of the Lord is there. The voice of the Lord is not scarce in the house of the Lord. It's not scarce. And this should be our advantage. This should be our advantage in these times. You see, the world is moving in a very, very interesting direction. And as we have seen in the past couple of months, or at least the last year, one thing we can all agree with is that manly strength has failed. And it will continue to fail. The only haven or safe haven is in the advantage that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. And what we must know concerning his church is that the solution dwells in the church. The solution, where the voice of the Lord is, where the word of the Lord is, there is power, there is ability. We are not a non-essential body. That's a lie from the world. In fact, the church is not just a place that we give instruction, but it will also be a place of solution for the world. Because where the word of the king is, there is power. So he dwells in the church both corporately and individually. Galatians 4 verse 6 establishes that on the individual level. It says he has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. So we see Jesus, the living man, dwelling in the midst of the church, the symbolic tabernacle. You are the house of the living God. You are the house of the living God. So he dwells there. He is at home there. So the voice of the Lord is not scarce. It is accessible by the Spirit of the living God because you are at one with him. That is the first and most important truth concerning the leading of God. How that you are not disjoint from him. And sometimes, many people get into a lot of error and into a lot of complication because they are looking for a complex sensation of the leading of God. But when this reality sits in, that you are one with the Spirit, the guiding Spirit of God, it makes sense to receive from him. It makes sense to follow the nudgings of the Spirit. As we will see today, the leadings of the Lord are not limited to words alone. They are multifaceted, but we'll look at the leadings of the Lord from a corporate standpoint to establish the importance in these times. And we will speak very mildly on the individual standpoint because that is a rather extensive discussion. So we can't go into that today. So we'll speak corporately and establish the importance for that. And we'll speak on the individual level. I'd like us to take some things down very quickly. The first and most important thing is this. The Spirit of the Lord is the channel for the current speakings of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the channel for the current speakings of God. The Spirit of the Lord is the channel for the current speakings of God. Revelations 2, 7, Revelations 2, 11, Revelations 17, 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1, and many other scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord is the channel for the current speakings of God. You see the Lord saying over and over in the book of Revelations that he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit amplifies and gives seasonal direction and context to the Word of God. What does that mean? For example, it is clearly written in Scriptures that you should go out into all the world and preach to all creation. That's clearly written. It's clearly established in Scriptures that you should go out and preach to all of the world. That's a constant. But for example, we also saw in the past times that there was the issue of a pandemic that raised the earth, but there was no place in scriptures that directly instructed on what you should do, at least in plain and verbatim, directly instruct what you should do when a pandemic hit the world. So the Spirit of the Lord gives a now view of the mind of God, still within the context and the confinements of scriptures. That's the first thing. The Spirit of the Lord is the channel for the current speakings of God. We remember Agabus. We remember Agabus. The Bible gives us an account of a time when there was going to be famine in the world. And by reason of the light of God, the church at that point in time was excluded and was able to be of help to others. Why? Because there was light in the church. And this is very key in these times. Corporately, the ability to secure the voice and the mind of God. You see, one of the benefits of being in a setting where Jesus alone is the focus is that you have access into the mind of God. So it's not just our ability to explain and to expound and teach and build up in the realities of truth that pertains to the believer. That's very important. There's also a balance that comes in to direct us, knowing what we ought to do per season, per time. And in these days, that is going to be an advantage. It's going to be an advantage. There has been many casualties as a result of people falling out of the symbolic cloud and pillar of fire, moving outside of that. Many cases where people should not be casualties. There are scenarios where believers fall casualties of the workings and operation of the enemy. But the Lord is saying in these times, one thing is going to be doing, not just because he has been doing that already, one thing is going to be doing is to make his voice louder, louder in the church, louder and even louder than before as we have known it, in the name of Jesus. It will be loud first in the church and to the world. Because that's how it ought to be. So he dwells, and because he is alive, he can speak. That is the basis. That's the reason we can trust his leading. He has a not just past view, he has a current view, and he has a future view. So he speaks from a perfect standpoint. And that becomes the basis for our actions. That becomes the basis for our persuasion in season and out of season. The second thing which I already said is that he speaks within the boundaries of the Word of God. He speaks within the boundaries of the Word of God. He speaks within the boundaries of the Word of God. This is the safety for prophetic speaking, because we've seen a lot of things that are categorized as prophecy. In fact, you see some posts on Facebook sometimes. Someone will say they saw a dream, a vision, and in fact, they'll capture it in picture form, and you see Jesus doing arm wrestling with Satan. And they say that they saw a dream, something big happened. I was caught up. But that is not in scriptures, obviously. So scriptures become the basis and our lines, our boundaries for establishing directions. And of course, in the mouth of two or three, every word is confirmed. So there is need for a corporate leading, direction for the body, first locally, nationally and worldwide. There is need for that. The ability to know what God is saying. The ability. This is an advantage in these times. It's an advantage. What is God saying? First corporately and individually. What am I meant to be doing in this time? What should be my focus at this point in time? What was my last instruction? So the leadings of the Lord, both corporately and individually. And let's see the importance of this. I would like us to turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29, verse 3. I'll read from verse 1 and we'll read verse 3 together. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were in months past as in days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. When by his light I walked through darkness. When by his light I walk through darkness." We stated last week that the world is in a symbolic evening time. This is something we hear every time. It's almost become a cliche. But the reality is that it is obvious for everyone to see that even now. But what captures my attention in this scripture is that by his light, I walk through darkness. By his light, I walk through darkness. There is advantage in clear, precise direction, corporate direction for the body.
Yes, that's right.
So we are not just people who don't have access to the mind of God. We do have access to the mind of God. And when the word of God comes to us, it becomes actionable points. It becomes the basis for our belief. Remember, one of the things that was said during the prayers last year was that one thing that will separate the world from the church is perspective. The Bible says, "Do not fear their fear. Do not dread their dread. Let the Lord be your fear." Two people can be going through the same thing, but they are having two distinct experiences. And what is the source of that? Light. The light. Someone say, "By light, I walk through darkness."
By light, I walk through darkness.
Let's say that again. By light, I walk through darkness.
By light, I walk through darkness.
By light, I walk through darkness.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Pay attention," or "Take heed to the word, as a lamp shining in dark places,
hallelujah,
until the day dawn and the morning star arises in our hearts." 2 Peter 1:19. So there is need for clear-cut direction. And the Lord has been speaking consistently to the house. Like we started last week, we are dealing with instructions. As much as we want to say different things, the Lord has been instructing us in certain areas. And one thing we can agree on instruction-wise is the need and the emphasis on two important areas. One happens to be the love walk, and another happens to be consecration to the Lord. One happens to be the love walk, and the other happens to be consecration to the Lord. That has been the emphasis in this times. Uncle made reference to the story in the book of Numbers, Numbers 9, speaking about the movement of the glory cloud. And one thing you see there is how the children of God kept the charge. They kept the instructions while the movement was on. While they were in transition, they kept the movement. Or they kept the instructions, rather. What is the Lord saying to us as a people in this time? There is need for us to strengthen and to endeavor in our walk, in our love walk, to stand strong for one another. There is need for that. That is one of the emphases at this point. And why is this so? If you notice in the book of Mark chapter 4, like we read earlier, when you see the story of transition, one thing that is synonymous with every story of transition is the rising up of windstorms and waves. It's synonymous with every story of transition. Why would the Lord be speaking to us about greater love? A brother said some time back that when there is great increase, there is more tendency for contention. The Lord has already begun to strengthen us, and He will even continue to strengthen us in our ability to love and love stronger in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So transition brings about the winds. Transition brings about the winds. A translation says great thunderstorms and waves. Great thunderstorms and waves. Great thunderstorms and waves. And what comes to mind is the woman in Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Very quickly. Revelation 12, verse 15. Revelation 12, verse 15. It says, "And the serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that she might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the woman opened her mouth and swallowed up the floods which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now we know, symbolically speaking, the woman speaks of the church. The woman in this case now obviously speaks of the church. And when it comes to floods arising, as it relates to the love walk, there are two things that arise when there is transition and increase in a body. Two things. Either an external flood or an internal flood. There's either an external flood or an internal flood. And I can tell you that if the strength within is strong, the external flood will not be issues or will not be an issue. From the stories and in the accounts of the New Testament church, one thing we see about transition and increase as it pertains to an external flood or the dragon or serpent releasing floods was the area of persecutions, external instigations, accusations from outside. That is not an issue if within there is strength. But there is the internal flood which the enemy seeks to introduce by reason of contention, by reason of, you name it, lack of appreciation for one another. The Bible says we should we should esteem others higher than ourselves. The internal contention is what is of even greater, or internal flood now, is of greater focus and greater importance for us to underline. When there is transition, the Lord instructs, he says, lengthen your cords and deepen your stakes. What are we to do? We are to extend our ability, we are to expound in our capacities to love. The Bible speaks about bowels of mercy, giving ourselves the benefit of doubt, learning to uphold one another in the place of prayers, learning to trust God for the best for one another. Because with great transition comes the winds. Remember, there is the internal and there is the external. And it is released by the serpent. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we are looking first corporately on the importance of prophecy. We have directed that to the body. But now, as it pertains to the communities we find ourselves in and to the nations, we would realize from the past 2 years, the Lord has been speaking to us beyond ourselves. There has been indications of authority in the place of prayer to intercede for nations. The Lord has given us insight into things that were to come even before they came. The Lord has instructed us concerning Canada. And that is one thing, that is one advantage the church has. The light of God's word, not just of things to come, but solution-based counsel for the nations. Solution-based counsel. God gives counsel concerning what we need to be doing to lift up Canada, to lift up Nigeria, to lift up the U.S. in the place of prayers. And it does not stop there. Over the time, it gives insights concerning what we need to do to give us advantage in the times to come. Because, my brethren, the days are evil. The days are evil. But like we said, by light, I walk through what? Darkness. God is going to make his voice louder and clearer even amongst us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen.
The spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation will be stronger in our ability to extract both truth from scripture and counsel concerning the times, concerning what we ought to be doing, concerning instructions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We will not be a people dull of hearing.
Amen.
The Lord has opened our ears, so that is not even in question. Our ears are opened to hear. So we hear sharply because he is always speaking. And the Lord will speak directly concerning every issue that pertains to every individual case and situation. Not just the nations. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
By light, I walk through darkness. By light. The leadings of God give us an advantage. I would like us to turn back to the story in Mark 4. The story in Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and it was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on the morrow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, on an individual level, still, you can still tie this to the corporate level. One thing we must note is that the leading and the voice of the Lord moves in the direction of his voice or his leading. The Lord moves in the direction of his voice or his leading. We see something in the story we just read right now. And that was the fact that the Lord himself initiated the move. He initiated the move. But he did not just stay back. He went with them. Let us go over to the other side. There is great assurance and safety in the leading of the Lord. Wherever he sends you there with himself. Whatever word he gives you is an assurance of his presence. Whatever leading he gives is an assurance of his, the reality that he is with you. The Lord began to communicate some things to my heart. Concerning the aspect of his leading, how that there are cases where people have received directions, receive clear movements, but because of the case of uncertainty, there has been issue or the issue of fear, the issue of worry. But one thing we can see from this story is that the Lord creates an assurance by reason of his word. The assurance you have is by his word. The fact that he initiated the move is the assurance you have. So when he initiates a move, he goes with you. That becomes the basis for your stance when the winds and the turbulences arise. And I believe, like we stated last week, speaking on the aspect of transition on an individual level, there are many things the Lord has been communicating and will continue to communicate. It may be endeavors. The Lord has placed a project on your heart. The Lord has instructed you concerning certain matters. The Lord has initiated something, but because of the sense of insecurity, because of the sense of uncertainty, there is a withholding. One thing the Lord wants to communicate today is that His leading can be trusted. He can be trusted. The prayer we raised up earlier today was that the Lord will teach us His ways. From what we established while praying, is that the ways of the Lord are not the ways of man. It takes experience. It takes walking with Him. But I want you to know, my brethren, that the Lord has gone before you, and He can be trusted in whatever endeavor. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
The Lord can be trusted. He can be trusted. Jesus can be trusted. It is His voice you have in transition. I remember Elijah. Elijah was instructed to go to a certain place. But the Lord said, I have sent a raven to the location. That's before he even went there. Actually, let me look for that scripture. If anyone can remember that very quickly. It should be 1 Kings. 1 Kings. The story of the Lord speaking to Elijah to go to a place where he will be fed. It should be 1 Kings. 1 Kings.
Thank you, sir. 1 Kings 17.
1 Kings 17. Okay. Verse what?
Straight from verse 1.
1 Kings 17. Okay, yes. And Elijah the Tishbite, I'll just read it very quickly, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not dew nor rain these days, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now I want you to see something. He did not say, when you go there, I will command the ravens to come and feed you. He says, I have already commanded the ravens. I have commanded the ravens. So there is assurance in the direction. There is assurance in the direction, the leading. There is safety in the leading of the Lord. There are too many people who become very liberal and, if I could say, free-minded concerning things that relate to life. And it's an unsafe place to be. Our greatest safety, it is in where God has instructed us to go. Our greatest safety is in our current assignments. Our safety is in the instruction of the Lord. And it's one temptation during transition to look outside what God has said. There is assurance, I repeat, there is assurance and safety in the leading of the Lord. When the Lord initiates a move, He backs it up with His presence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we see this was one of the reasons why the children of Israel were safe in the case of Balaam. You see, In the book of Numbers 23, verse 21, the Bible says that Balaam, or it gives us an account of Balaam, where he was meant to lay a siege or lay a curse on the children of Israel. And his reply to Balak was very interesting. He says, I have not found iniquity. Numbers 23, verse 21. I have not found iniquity amongst them. These were people who were rebellious. This was a group of people who were struggling to follow God. But why was that statement made concerning them? It was because they were following the leading of the Lord. They were under the cloud. They were moving with him from place to place. There is safety in the leading of the Lord. One thing we must secure, both corporately and individually, on a constant basis, is the word, the voice of the Lord. There is safety and assurance in the leading of the Lord. There is safety and assurance in the leading of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we say there is safety?
There is safety.
There is safety.
And assurance. In the leading of the Lord.
In the leading of the Lord.
There is safety and assurance.
There is safety.
So he leads us on the path of purpose. He leads us according to his will. He leads us in alignment with his divine counsel, both as a body and both individually. The Bible, or a song we sing normally, says, the cloud of glory is moving. Let us move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. That's very true. The symbolic cloud of glory is the Holy Spirit. And because he dwells within us as the living Jesus, he can give us a reliable leading. Sometimes the leading of the Lord will contradict your personal philosophies. It takes faith to trust him, because he wants to be trusted. That's a very important factor in transition. Faith in God. Total focus on him. Not depending on your own strength. Not depending on any man. But total focus on him. Seeing that because he said, he will follow. It's a principle you can tie to any aspect, both corporately or individually. As simple as our meditation may sound today, this is a very important principle, and I believe there's someone who needs to hear this. God has gone before you. God has gone before you. God has gone before you. There is assurance in his leading. God has gone before you. It doesn't matter how boisterous the wind or the storms may seem to be. He moves in the direction of his leading. And like we see in that story, when the storms arose, this is in Mark 4 now, when the storms arose, and his disciples could not take this any longer, they went to him and they woke him up. The Bible says he rebuked the winds. He rebuked the storms. What does that mean? Will Jesus come and rebuke any wind for you? He certainly wouldn't. Remember, we said sometime that the word of God in your mouth is equivalent to the voice of God. when you take what he has said before the transition and make it an utterance during the transition, it becomes the basis for which the winds are calm. The windstorm stops at the voice of the Lord. He says, the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Who will not fear? I believe the Lord is speaking to someone today. I believe the Lord is speaking expressly to someone. Take words with you. Take the things that the Lord has said. Make them your utterance. You may be in such situations now. You may be in something that contradicts. You are experiencing some kind of maybe wind. But the Lord says, remember the word that initiated the transition. Remember it. Two things are important concerning his voice. What he said before the transition, and a consciousness of his presence during transition. That is very crucial. What he said before the transition and a consciousness of his presence. The Lord is communicating some things to us today. Like I said, it may sound simplistic, but there are certain things we must establish as a body and as individuals. And that is that God wants to be trusted. He will teach us his ways, both corporately and both individually. He will teach us his ways. No one can exhaust the ways of God. It's a lifelong curriculum. No one. And the Lord is saying, when you go, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is constantly with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is constantly with us.
That's right.
So our focus today is the leading, first corporately. He speaks through his vessels in the church. He speaks by the mouth of two or three. The Bible calls them the stars of the church in the right hand of the Lord. It gives direction. We should be conscious of words that come as direction. There will be safety in them. There will be instructions as the year goes forth, in areas of life, as the body moves on. These words will be basis for both advancement and safety. There will not be any form of casualty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the leading of the Lord. Let's turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9 from verse 15. I'll read this in another version because that gives a better appreciation for what we're looking at. I'll read this in the New English Version. Verse 15, it says, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and from evening until morning, there was a fiery appearance over the tabernacle. This is the way it used to be continually. The cloud would cover it by day. There was a fiery appearance by night. Whenever the Lord was taken up from amongst the tabernacle, then after the Israelites would begin their journey, and in whatever place the cloud settled, there the Israelites would camp. At the commandment of the Lord, the Israelites would begin their journey, and at the commandment of the Lord, they would make camp as long as the cloud remained settled over the tabernacle. They would camp there. Now, this is, like I said, these are stories we've read before, but these are things we know. But the seasonal emphasis permits for us to look into these things again. Both individually and corporately, we see the movement according to the instruction of the Lord. The movement according to the instruction of the Lord. And I want us to see something here. The instruction of the Lord was not vocal. It was not always vocal. It was a corporate understanding, oneness of heart, and oneness of view concerning what the Lord was saying. When the cloud settled, the people of God settled. When it moved, the people of God moved. What does that mean for us, both corporately and individually? One thing the Lord does and will continue to do amongst us is a corporate understanding in heart, even without words, of what He is doing in every season. He gives clarity by the indwelling spirit, the symbolic pillar of cloud and fire. Now, it gives a witness, a knowing in the spirit of what both our actions and our inactions, what we have to be doing. Let's turn to 1 John concerning a knowing, actually. Seeing that the cloud is not necessarily speaking, we are speaking now in relation to the voice of God not always being vocal. Let's turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. First John chapter 2, verse 20. Chapter 2, verse 20. Give me a second here. Okay. It says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." You know all things. The first thing I want us to note down concerning the leading of the Lord, both corporately and individually now, is the knowing of the Spirit, the oneness and knowing of the Spirit. The people of Israel just saw the cloud. They could all understand without anyone saying anything. And a knowing really is an inscription of truth in your heart that brings about a persuasion in your spirit. He says, "You know all things." How do you know? I just know. You know all things. Why? Because our spirits can see. Our spirits can perceive. The same goes for individual endeavors. We spoke about purpose last week. We spoke about the Lord giving directions. One thing the Lord will be doing, especially even down the line of this year, is specific impressions, knowings concerning things the Lord will have you do as it relates to whatever He has placed or whatever He has designed you for. It may be a scripture. You just know that this is what you ought to be doing. Or is it steps that pertain to life's matters? It's a knowing. By the Spirit of the Lord, it's a knowing. You know when to move. You know when to be at a point of inactivity. A knowing. They were all under the cloud. And they knew. They all saw it. There was no utterance. They understood. They knew. Oneness as a result of the same experience. Of course, a second scripture for that would be, I think 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 downwards. It says that we have received the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. Another scripture, 1 John 5, verse 8, says that the Spirit beareth witness, and the Spirit is truth. So a conviction of truth by reason of the indwelling Spirit. Now, concerning the leadings, still in the leadings, remember, we're not speaking conclusively concerning the leadings. We said that earlier that we won't be able to go into this detailed. We're actually planning on having in the foundational class, going in detail concerning how God speaks. And maybe people who are even interested can reach out concerning that. So we're not going into detail. We're just picking out a couple of things as it relates to our current meditation. So the second one is a burden. I'll turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 1. It says, and the word of the Lord, the word of Nehemiah, the sons of Akaliah, and it came to pass in the month Shelu, and in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Anani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. It came to pass that when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy of them that love him, and observeth his commandments. Now we see a story of Nehemiah, and we see someone who bears the burden of his people. A burden is a full-fledged communication of God that is not always in words. Remember, we said last week that sometimes burdens are indications of or pointers to what God's focus or emphasis may be on our life. It may be seasonal, or it may be in total or in totality. But we see something about Nehemiah. It was as if he was the one in trouble, even though he was in the palace. He was bearing a burden. He was bearing a burden. And what was the next action point? He took him to the place of prayer. He took him to the place of prayer. One thing I believe will be very crucial and will be experienced a lot concerning individual areas are unique burdens. Unique burdens that will drive us to a place of prayer and bet unique endeavors. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened. How do you put it? All ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give thee rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a privilege to bear the burden of the Lord. In fact, in the story of Moses, you realize that this was one of the reasons why Moses killed the Egyptians. It was a burden that was wrongly exercised. He had a unique burden for deliverance. That was the reason for which he was born. But anger took hold of him. Anger found expression because it was a burden that was, permit me to use the word, the intentions were good, but the acts, the mode of oppression, turned out to be negative. The burdens. It's not always clear cut. It's not always in words, but burdens, as it pertains to certain areas, both individually and corporately. And lastly, is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 105. Says, thy word is a lamp. Give me a second. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We spoke about 2 Peter 1 verse 19 earlier. We see the word being a lamp, a basis for instruction, the light of God's word coming to us both individually and corporately. It becomes the basis for our instructions. It becomes the basis for our directions. It becomes the basis for our current actions or inactions. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's turn to the book of Numbers as we round up. I said we'll pray. I have a burden rather for prayers. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. I'll read the last verse. It says, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. What is the current charge to the house? What is the Lord saying in this season to us? I already mentioned that earlier. The Lord obviously has led us to turn our eyes towards ourselves in the area of consecration and our love work, which is also a part of consecration if you think about it. Our devotion to love. The Lord is speaking expressly and he is leading. And he will continue to give direction, even in these times. He will give counsel, because like we said, the church is moving. The church is in transition. We are advancing with the Lord, both individually and corporately. And it behoves us to take the instructions that have come to us, so that they don't just become things we hear on Sunday, but they become prayer points and action points for us. The safety of the church is in the unity of the church. So we begin to take heed to what the Lord has said. We lay hold on those things very strongly, and we trust the Lord for even more entrance concerning what we ought to be doing. Not just as a church, but concerning the nations, instructions concerning the nations. In the place of prayer, light comes, the leading, because the world is in need of the church at this point. The world is in need of the church badly. We have seen people come to seek counsel from men of the past, maybe in a singular form, men like you see people like Miles Monroe instructing leaders of nations. But that's a singular manifestation of that. And it's not a thing of the future. The Lord is bringing the church to a point where he can give direction. Direction, not just to the church, but to the world. Direction.
Right.
The church,
right.
the nations will be dependent on the church again. The nations will be dependent. Counsel from the church. So how does this start? We receive a leading, first of all, from him. We start in our own Jerusalem. Learn how to be led by him in the small things. Learn how to yield to him. Learn how to trust him with his word. Understand and have a consciousness of the fact that he is with us. And as we continue to move, the Lord brings us to a place of greater influence. And not so long, my brethren. The world will hear the voice of the Son of God in these times. The world will hear the voice
of
the Son of God. It is transiting and it is coming to a place of dependence. It says, once more, I will shake the nations and their desires will come to me.
Hallelujah.
So the leading of the Lord. We have the Spirit of the Lord and he is leading us. Today, my prayer point, I would like us to go into a time of prayer. A time of prayer. Charity begins at home, they say. God is always speaking. God is always speaking. The problem is not if God speaks. The problem sometimes is listening and hearing. God is always speaking. And concerning transition, both the ability to hear before and during is critical. I'd like us to pray. And it's still from the first prayer point, I believe, that was raised up at the beginning of this meeting. That, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Cause me to learn your ways by your Spirit. Cause me to learn your ways by your Spirit. Help me. Help me. We're going into a time of prayers now. I would like us to just unmute for a second and begin to talk to the Lord. Let's speak to the Lord today. That's where we'll cut it short. Let's speak to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The leadings of the Lord. The ability to hear him.
Yeah.
Hearing is a heritage. It's not just a privilege. It's a heritage. It's a heritage.
Yes, yeah.
We hear him. We hear him.
Yes.
We hear him. We hear him. We hear him. Jesus, our ability to hear him as a body, as a church, as individuals, The Bible says that if the trumpet sounds and gives an indistinct sound, how will you know what you ought to be doing? The ability to hear clear cut direction. Clear cut direction by the Spirit of the Living God. By the Spirit of the Living God. The leading of God is very crucial in transition.
Let our ears
be open. Let our ears be open. Let our ears hear. Every man,
oh Lord, have it hearing.
Hear the voice of the Lord. To hear the direction of God. Oh Lord, that you are. It's an heritage. It's our right. He speaks. He is walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus.